Missing this?
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play. Former Connacht rugby and Nottingham player James Connolly joins us now to talk to us about the realities of life without a contract for a professional rugby player in the midst of 2020. Good morning to you, James. How are you getting on?
Hiya, Ger. Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So people will remember you as being part of the Connacht squad under Pat Lamb for a period of time. It was a very successful period of time for Connacht. Maybe fill us in with what happened after that. How did you end up going over to England to play?
Yeah, so basically I left Connacht last year and had the opportunity to go over to Nottingham. This time last year, headed over to Nottingham and was loving it over there. Great club, great people, was playing some good rugby. I think I got about eight games on the trot. Was really getting into a rhythm, a good flow of playing consistently. And then unfortunately in November, I tore the cartilage in my knee and had surgery in December. So that was the season kind of ruled out for me. And it was a bit of a turbulent year in terms of injury. And then the announcement of cuttings from the RFU into the championship next season. And then obviously with COVID happening now. So bit of a weird time to find myself in now, but I suppose just dealing with it and getting on with it, I suppose.
Would the cartilage have finished your season anyway? Was it the injury that significant?
Yeah, so I had a bucket handle tear in the cartilage in my knee, so that was pretty much ruled me out for the rest of the season. That's a 6-7 month injury, so I'm just at the end of my recovery time now. I'm back running and looking to be fit in the next few weeks.
And but, had your initial contract been a 2-year deal? But
it was just a 1-year deal with Nottingham.
Right.
And now that it's only come in the last few months that Nottingham are going semi-pro, just with everything that's happening next season, they're going to semi-pro and the RFU announcing the cutting. So that wasn't for me in terms of what I wanted to do in the future. I still kind of have ambitions to, you know, achieve in the higher level of rugby and. Yeah, but I kind of find myself now in a bit of a weird situation, and that kind of, as do I'd say a lot of the players who are without a contract right now, that are in that limbo land. And I suppose when the light is shed on when the new season has started, and we'll know more and we might be able to get contracts. But for now, it's kind of clubs and are indecisive about signing, and so it's difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So what is the actual process at the moment? Like, from your own personal perspective, do you have an agent? Did you have an agent who brokered this deal for you?
Yeah, so I just had a local agent in Galway who did my contract or did my Connacht stuff over the years. But I signed with a new agency, Elite Player Management, the worldwide, and dealing with the agent, Tom Varndell, former player for England. So I'm dealing with him at the minute, and he's looking all over the world at the minute, and everywhere is really an option for me. But it's just quite difficult now with clubs are just very indecisive, especially in my position as a back row. You know, it's very flooded. There's been times where I've been thinking, oh, will I just put on 20 kilos and become a tight head prop? It might go in my favour. But it's hopefully in the next few months, and when teams have more clarity on when the season's going to start, and hopefully I'll get the opportunities with a pro contract. But for now, it's limbo, as I said, I suppose.
That 8-game stretch where you played week after week after week, do you go back and gather footage of that and send that to Tom and let him send that around the world? How does that work?
Yeah. So basically just got my footage from my 8 games, put it together and gave it to Tom. And I also had footage of stuff when I was at my time in Connacht. So basically they just send it out to clubs and all over, you know, Southern Hemisphere, Japan, Italy, France, America. So, you know, obviously there's been a bit of interest from the MLR, which is growing nicely, but obviously their season doesn't start till December. So there's a bit of time in between that. So it might be a case if, a pro contract doesn't come up right now, that, I just go ahead with AIL and get some game time, under my belt and get the knee back. And then hopefully when the season is announced, whenever it starts, maybe October, or the American League starts in December, that, opportunities will come up then. But I could maybe use AIL and to get some minutes under my belt, so
Right.
then I'm ready for that.
So it's a bit of a safety net for you to actually at least go back and get some time. We've seen Connacht have just picked up somebody from Lansdowne in the last while. So there is kind of a pathway there, at least. It's not very well established, but it does exist.
Yeah, there's definitely a pathway there. If you're playing well in the AIL, it's definitely not going to go unnoticed. And that would probably be, my thought process behind that. If I was to, if a pro contract didn't come up, that I'd go play AIL. Provinces would know that I'm still, within the system, and that I'm there, I'm ready to go, and I could be picked up at any time. So I suppose over the last, few months, it's kind of, I suppose when you're in the pro rugby bubble, you never really think of outside rugby, and it's only in the last few months where reality has kind of dawned, and where I've been kind of looking into my career and trying to get the ball rolling and that, and it just goes to show that it's pro rugby. It doesn't last forever, and you don't know, what's going to happen, over the next while. So.
Is that something that you would tap your younger shoulder self on the shoulder and go, here, listen, you need to do a little bit extra here, spend a little bit longer in college, do a bit more work experience?
100%. Yeah, I think coming through the academy and through the first few years of with Connacht, it was you're just in the bubble and you think it's just going to be plain sailing. Like if it was a graph, you just think it's going to go all the way up. But I'll definitely look back and try to focus on getting something, as a foundation to kind of fall back on. But then again, at the time, I wasn't quite sure, where to go in or what career path to go into. So I think that's what I've been really thinking about over the last few weeks, is knuckling down a nice area for me to go into. And to be fair, I've been working with Rugby Players Ireland, and Deirdre Lyons has been helping me out so much with that area and that aspect. She's been brilliant. So we've just been kind of working together and honing down, the area that would suit me best. And that's great, because I've been away in Nottingham for a year, and the Rugby Players Ireland, it doesn't matter whether you're within one of the provinces, they'll still, they'll help you out for life. So she's I can't speak highly enough of Deirdre and the help she's doing for me
Yeah,
at the minute.
look, I'd say a lot of people wake up in their mid to late 20s and go, am I doing the right job? Should I actually have a bit of a career change? And like, despite the fact that you've had a professional sports career up to this point, I probably think that's not that unusual.
I think, that's, from speaking to Deirdre and stuff, it's quite normal. A lot of people go into something, they 18, come out of school, and they pick a course that, maybe matches what they want to achieve in life, or salary and stuff, but then they find out they don't, enjoy it that much, and end up switching. So I think I have an opportunity with Deirdre and all the assessments she's putting me through, that I can really hone in on, what that perfect area, and kind of learn, about myself as much, where I'd be best fitted. So that's a great opportunity. I'm grateful for having her by my side.
I wonder, in a weird way too, James, is that the type of thing that would actually give you a lot more confidence when you go back to rugby as well? Is that actually you have got this thing going on, a side hustle, which will eventually become your main hustle, but that ultimately that will
Definitely.
give you a bit more freedom when you're playing rugby to go, right,
Definitely.
I had this plan in
Yeah.
place.
Yeah, I think it just, it's kind of, it has been a turbulent time, but through this time, I've been able to, learn a lot about myself and get that area, get the ball rolling in that area. So it definitely, 100%, it would only, make my rugby better, that I would have, I'd be more confident in, what I'm going to do after rugby, so definitely that would definitely have a good effect on me, and be positive, knowing that I have something to fall back onto.
And in terms of your rugby career, I mean, we do know in Ireland we produce a slew of back rowers. It's kind of the position that we produce the most genetic shapes for. We're really good at rowing as a country, we're really good at boxing, we're really good at producing international quality back rowers for rugby. Loads of Irish sports careers are late bloomers because there's blocks along the way or opportunities or injuries. So Are you still hopeful that there is a significant portion of your rugby career left ahead of you? And what level do you think you're going to be able to get to?
Yeah, definitely. Like, in terms of the amount, like, I'm 27 now, and in terms of the amount of rugby that I've played, I feel very low mileage in terms of actual game time. So 36 caps for Connacht, and, you know, 8 games for Nottingham, and 27. So I feel like, you know, I definitely have a lot, or I would like to achieve a lot and get a pro contract, and I feel like I have a lot more to kind of to write in that regard. So, but we'll see over the next few months, what happens and whether I get a contract. So, but for now, you know, I just got to put one foot in front of the other, and you know, if it's AIL, I'll just get on with that and just, you know, see how I go.
But when you
definitely have ambitions for myself for keeping a pro standard.
When you get to the AIL, do you feel like at that stage you have to excel, or is it just about getting to a level of fitness because you know that you're going to be good enough to be able to play in the Pro 14 or in the Premiership if an English club comes looking for you?
Yeah, I think it's just getting back into the groove of playing. And even from when I played with Nottingham, I was playing every weekend. It was just, I think as a player, you learn so much more when you're playing week in, week out. It's amazing. You know, when you get into a groove that you just constantly every week you're improving because you're just having that kind of mind muscle kind of you're getting used to playing and you're anticipating things quicker rather than, you know, if I was playing sporadically, you'd be focusing in on mental reps and visualizing and stuff, but nothing is as good as when you get on the field and you're constantly playing every week. So I learned a lot in that regard. But yeah, in terms of AIL, I'll just be trying to get my fitness back up. I haven't played since last November, so using that to kind of get my fitness back up, and then to be, you know, in the next few months to be ready to go for if anyone calls me up, that I'll be in good shape and ready to go in.
What would your preference be? Like, are you kind of thinking this could be an opportunity for a bit of adventure, Southern Hemisphere, Japan, America?
I think I'm not limiting myself in kind of options, so I'm just keeping all options open. You know, we'll see what pops up. I could go to Australia, go to America. We'll see if something pops up here with one of the provinces. You know, that'd be great too. Obviously, to stay home and to be around family would be brilliant as well. So, I'm not closing off any options right now. So,
6 month season in San Diego sounds pretty good, though, right?
It does. Yeah, the lifestyle sounds pretty good. All right, definitely. I know a few guys that have been over there, and they speak really highly of it. But then again, there's kind of part of me that kind of wants to stay around Europe. I feel as if maybe if you go to America, you're kind of out of the picture a little bit. And I feel like yes, if I was to stay around here, I feel like I've more to achieve and more to get out of it if that opportunity comes around.
Do you feel like there's a bit of unfinished business with somewhere in Connacht when you leave with as few caps as you had over that period of time that you think, actually, you know what, I could go back there and really make a difference the next time?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Connacht always holds a special place in my heart, and I definitely feel as if, you know, there could be unfinished business there if I got an opportunity to go back up with a year of having experience over Nottingham, and I suppose a few years older and stuff like that. Definitely that would be a great opportunity to go back up there. Such a special place. It's only when you leave that you realize you know, how special a place it is and how close the community it is, and it's just a brilliant place and a brilliant club to be a part of.
What has changed for you in terms of your own perspective as somebody who has gone away and then had that year under your belt? Because, you know, we obviously, very famously, there are the examples of the lads from Leinster who went to Leicester and then came back to Leinster, and suddenly Shane Jennings and Leo Cullen are slightly different people. They're just more intense. They've kind of witnessed something. Obviously, the Leicester environment was very special that they went to, but from your own perspective, what has changed? How are you different?
I think sometimes when you're with a club for so long and you're dealing with the same people and stuff. It's just good to get out to a different club, new people, different ways of playing the game. It just gives you a better perspective of rugby. So I think sometimes you can kind of get caught in a rut in the same place, and you can find yourself going with the motions. But when you're kind of taken out of that environment and into a different environment, and you just see a different side of rugby, I suppose. And I think it just makes you better as a person and a player. And it just gives you a better perspective on things, I think.
All right, well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with the recuperation, and hopefully we'll see you strutting your stuff on a field sooner rather than later. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks a lot. Good talking to you.